When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the new and improved Hyper Focus, a podcast for chaotic minds. This week, a new host is going to tell us a story. Hello. Welcome back, everyone, and a very special welcome to our new host, Maddie.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing today?
Man, I am super jazzed. I'm feeling very blessed to be in your presence.
As
to
you should.
Be here as a part of Hyper Focus.
Yeah.
Didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
To be honest, radical life change to be here. And I'm just, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to share some cool stories. Going to bring out the history buff in me.
Okay.
I really am super excited. I have a really cool story for today too. So excited to share that with you and be a part of this.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, if you have no idea what's going on here, if you have no idea who Maddie is, obviously, as we have been discussing the last few weeks, Lauren is gone. But we did a search for a new host and we released a bonus episode a few days ago with some bits of Maddie's interview. She had to do that live on, well, not really live, but she had to be willing to record it for all of you to hear.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly. So we are, we're excited to have her. But you have to live up to the hype.
Yeah.
This, your position here is not set in stone. You have to do well. And, you know, we could fire you at any time.
That's good.
So
it's good to know.
Thin ice. Do your best.
But my best needs to be for perfection.
Correct.
Okay.
Anything less than perfection is a fireable offense.
Right.
So let's just get into it. Now, normally this is when we do apologies.
Yeah. Since I'm new, we're not going to be doing apologies this week.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be plenty to apologize for in the future. So have no fear. They'll be back. But
great.
This week, you know, I can't apologize for an episode I wasn't a part of yet. So we'll just have to leave the apologies blank for the past episode.
Yeah, I think that just proves that my last episode was perfect.
Yeah.
As they usually are. So are you ready to just jump in?
I'm ready to jump in.
All right. What do you have for us today?
So we all know. So you know Hugh Hefner. Playboy Mansion.
Sure, yes.
Playboy Bunnies, right?
I am familiar.
Right. So he has his mansions. Mm-hmm. Chicago's the main one. He's got one out. Well, the original, I should say. The main one's out in L.A. Luxurious 70s sex party weird lifestyle, right?
All right.
Did you know that there was a lesser known Hugh Hefner wannabe that built his own mansion in Chattanooga, Tennessee?
You know, something about this feels vaguely familiar, but there's no way I could tell you what's going on here. So please enlighten me.
So there is high up in on Mission Ridge in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a swinger's palace.
Oh boy. Oh my gosh.
Known as the Tiki Hut.
Oh boy. This is scary.
Now, spoiler alert. I do have to spoil this right from the beginning. The house is no longer standing. It was demolished in 2017. So unfortunately, I tried to go see it myself, but
you tried to do some very in-depth research.
I really tried to engross myself in the story.
In this lifestyle,
circumstances kept me from really getting my hands dirty, you know. So this crazy party house from the 1970s has this air of like extravagance, but it's kind of eerie. And it's in many ways the story, a kind of a good story of American greed, downside of the American dream. So we're looking at 1970s America. We have a business tycoon. Our main character of this story is Billy Hull. Now tell me that's not a great name. I mean,
like H-U-L-L, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy Hull. Just seems, it screams 70s strip club tycoon.
It kind of does.
So he is a strip club owner in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he had this vision to have his own Playboy mansion in the hills of Chattanooga.
Sure.
Where else would you go? So exactly. I'm not sure. I mean, he owned the strip clubs in Chattanooga, so it could have just been the proximity. But I mean, Chattanooga's beautiful, but it's not something that screams Playboy mansion, tiki summer swingers house. But
what does?
I mean, fair enough. I mean, I can't answer that question because I'm not sure anything really does. But Billy Hull dreamed the impossible.
Woof. We have a dog with us today.
That is my dog, mm-hmm. And he's a sweetheart. He gets really fired up about
Billy Hull. He gets really fired up about
swingers palaces
with tiki torches.
So, let me give you a little context here. So Billy Hull has a wife named Gloria. She's going to become important near the end of this story, but to say the least, it was a complicated marriage. And there's not much on Billy or his marriage prior to the Tiki House. It's kind of like Tiki House and on is where we care about him. So we're just going to start there. So like I said, he is a prominent businessman owning a lot of mainly two.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is he still alive? Because you're using the present tense. Okay.
Yes. So he's
in
not alive.
In the story,
alive.
He is.
In the story, yes. He's currently alive.
Understand.
He does die in 2008 of cancer. So, you know.
I don't have a reaction yet because I don't know if I love him or hate him.
Exactly. So okay. we're gonna break this down. So he, beginning in the late, like 1969, early 1970, Billy teams up with our architect, Ed Ball. So, I mean, great names, first off. I loved him.
Okay, so I don't know who Ed Ball is, but I'm picturing Big Ed from, what show is it, 90 Day Fiancé?
Yep.
Or is it Married at First
Sight? No, it's 90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé. I'm picturing Big Ed as the architect.
I think for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
That's right. Not intensive purposes.
Intense and purposes.
Right. Okay.
Which is often
intensive
misspoken purposes. As intensive purposes. Intense and purposes.
Correct.
There you go.
Okay. So for that,
yes,
we're going to pretend Ed Ball, our architect of the Tiki Hut Swingers Palace,
Big Ed.
Is Big Ed from 90 Day Fiancé.
It just fits.
So when we turn this into a movie, we know who to call to cast. So they're teaming up to build this mega mansion. It takes them like 2 years to figure out what all the details Billy wants in this deluxe swingers resort. And it took about 14 months to complete. So in 1972, the Tiki Hut opened to the public, and there were actually 10,000 people who came to the original opening. I'm not kidding.
Like
I don't know if all of them like actually made it inside because it, it's only 5,600 square feet. So it's not like it's not huge.
5,600 square feet. That's
a mansion
small.
For Chattanooga.
5,600?
Are
70s.
You sure? Yeah. I did my due diligence. 5,600 square feet. I'm not even kidding.
How big is this studio and our offices?
Like 1,000, right?
Something like
five
that,
five of
yeah.
these.
Okay, yeah. Now that I'm looking around, it's bigger than I...
It's...
Yeah.
I had the same initial reaction.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I was like, that seems small. But I think it's the word mansion that you just automatically assume it's like 10,000 square feet.
Yeah. I don't know why I was picturing this being like a more of like a resort, like a very large resort. But no. It's a single family home.
It's what it says.
Well, not single family.
Correct.
Multi-couple.
Right. See, I'm not sure if all 10,000 like went inside or right. if it was just like.
They were there looking. For a show.
Right. They were just, what can we see?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot of spectacular things that make this mansion super unique. By today's standards, they might not be necessarily like the most extravagant.
Okay.
You know, like sometimes our measure of wealth is like automatic or like quiet shut drawers, you know, in the kitchen.
Oh, and soft, like that opulence. Soft closed drawers. Yeah. I love soft closed drawers.
Yeah. But for the 70s and for Chattanooga, this was like pinnacle. Of opulence.
Okay.
So, like I said, it's 5,600 square feet. It's got 3 bedrooms, 4.5 bathrooms.
Okay.
Again, this was kind of surprising because I was like, okay, that seems somewhat small. But then again, we have other rooms that are bigger sure. than the bedrooms.
Yeah, I figured.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the pictures, now definitely go check out the Instagram and Twitter and TikTok because the pictures are where most of this like jaw-dropping chaos is seen.
I want to look it up right now. Remind me
the Swingers Palace Tiki Hut.
I'm scared
in Chattanooga. there won't be anything graphic, I swear. It is the most
Swingers Palace Tiki Hut.
Yeah, Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
It is the most stereotypical 70s like swingers sex party house you've ever seen in your life. Red carpet.
I had never considered that there was a stereotype for that, but I know what you
there
mean.
There is. See? Exactly. Red carpet, circle beds, mirrored like walls, mirrors
now,
on the ceilings.
I'm only seeing like the ruins of it, basically.
Yeah, they have very few images of like available to the public of the original. There's a few pictures of like the front facade, yes. and then which we'll start breaking down some of this.
Yeah, I just want to look while you're explaining. So please go ahead.
Perhaps the most famous element in this house is the main pool, which yes. I'm sure you're seeing. It's located. It's the first thing you see when you enter this house. It is shaped like a Playboy bunny. And on the floor in the tile of the pool is the Playboy Bunny logo. So as we can see, Billy had a clear example or like prototype he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We know what he's trying to do. He is not hiding that he wants his own Playboy mansion. Gosh.
This really is very 70s. The wood paneling.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So the crazy thing about this pool is the bunny ears of the pool are actually canals. To the bedrooms.
Oh, I see that now. They have little bridges
and
over them.
Little bridges over it that help, you know, make the, you can walk full circle around the pool. But those canals go into the 2 bedrooms, the 2 main bedrooms.
Uh-huh.
So the pool is like 12 feet deep. It's a massive pool. It's like 20 by 40 feet. It's electrically heated and had its own like separate humidity controls. Like it was advanced, relatively advanced technology for a pool in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The pool also had a waterfall, a full bar, and a fire pit surrounded by real palm trees. The walls lining this room are what was really interesting to me. So over...
In the pool room.
So the walls next to the bunny ears
mm-hmm.
were actually tinted glass so that people in the bedrooms could look out and see what's going on in the pool, but nobody in the pool could look in the bedrooms.
Mm.
And then everywhere else was like this bamboo tiki hut facade just yeah. like in the middle of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so it's like this weird like blend of like vacation, tropical vibes with like 1970s sex party. It's like the strangest juxtaposition ever. You know, so that's kind of the main staple room.
Yes.
And there's also in this house a back patio. It's like massive and it's overlooking the Chattanooga Valley. So really, quite honestly, peak views. It had a 12-person jacuzzi, a full sauna.
That is a big jacuzzi.
Right? I'm thinking, like, there's not even apartment complexes with jacuzzis that big. You get, like, 2 people in those. I don't even know if you can buy them that big.
I'm sure you can.
Special order. Can I get the Billy Hole special order, please?
get anything for a price.
That's true. So he also has a bar. I mean, he has bars all over this house. So just if there's a room, there's a bar. There's a room, there's a bar. So that's the back patio. So you go, then you can go in the there's a lot of like glass doors to go into the living room. And the living room is like this thick red carpeted room with a giant fire pit, another bar,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not. And this one has the mirrored glass, walls. And I that just really creeps me out. Like, mirrors sometimes freak me out in general, but I'm picturing like ballet studio, but like lots of crazy activities going on, you know?
Yeah.
The mirrored glass finds itself in the bedrooms as well, which is equally as terrifying. And the bedrooms also had closed circuit TVs to view the pool area and other parts of the house.
Oh no.
Just to keep an eye on everything.
I'm going to say maybe that's not what it was for.
Correct. The house also had intercom systems, and this isn't really that like crazy, but when I read that, it made me laugh because my grandparents used to have this massive like mile long house that you'd like, it's just one story. You just had to walk from one end to the other to get to the kitchen, and they had an intercom system. And as kids, we would like press the button, but it would just send a screeching like.
So as you know, I'm a deep sleeper. Maybe you don't know that, but I am. Okay. I'm a deep sleeper, especially when I was in like middle school, high school, and I was getting like 5 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah.
So my mom got an intercom system that she could plug in one of them downstairs and one of them like in my room or in my bathroom. And every morning at like 6:30, like, beep, beep. It had to be far enough from my bed though that I would like have to get out of bed to answer it. And it drove me crazy. I hated it.
Maybe that's what Billy was doing.
Doubtful.
Maybe not. Maybe they played hide and seek with it. Who knows? I know that's what we did. And sometimes we'd go in different rooms and try to talk to each other. Again, the intercom system was really broken in my grandma's house. But, you know, hey.
Okay.
I think we need to bring those back in homes. I think they're fun. Maybe you have one. Maybe you don't. That's the house. But that's not the end of the story.
Yeah, I assumed.
I'm not just going to tell you about some architecture. So it's eccentric, elaborate, whatever. It's crazy. But it's creepy. It has its creepy parts. And it was designed to host a lot of scandalous behavior. So like all of the great tycoons, Billy had his secrets and found himself plunged in scandal for pretty much the rest of his life.
I mean, if this is what he's doing publicly, what is he doing privately?
Right. I mean, that's the 70s for you.
Yeah.
So less than a year after this building opens, on May 3rd, 1973, there's a hitman named Larry Parker. Okay. He shoots another guy named Roland Hargis.
Roland Shit?
Roland Shit. I did automatically think of Schitt's Creek. I don't know another human named Roland.
Nope.
But now I do. Now we do.
So we have Big Ed and we have Roland Shit.
This cast is all stars so far.
Okay, sorry. We have a hitman named
Larry Parker.
Larry Parker, who
kills Roland Hargis.
Okay.
So Hargis is leaving a nightclub. Parker shoots him. And so, of course, you know, police are on it. There's an investigation now. So once the investigation is underway, they find out Parker, the gunman, hitman, was a friend of Billy. And they find out that Billy had paid Parker to kill Hargis because Hargis was sleeping with his wife. And I love the irony and sexism of this.
Yes.
Because little Billy over here gets his heart broken that Gloria's out there having some fun.
And he, meanwhile, has a swingers mansion.
Correct. Devoted
to
sex parties.
Yes.
Poor Gloria is just like, I just want someone to love me. I just want to feel loved. So that's what I mean. Their marriage is a little complicated.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So Billy is clearly convicted of murder for hire and sentenced to 20 years in prison. Parker goes to jail for manslaughter. Billy appeals this case. He's like, I didn't do it.
Of course.
And when it's appealed at the Tennessee Supreme Court, State Supreme Court, they find out that there was another attempted murder for hire that Billy also paid. So it just like didn't help.
So he tried to appeal and instead he got further charges.
And then he realized you have successfully done this once and tried to do it again. Mm. So he goes to jail, does not get acquitted, whatever. So, so that's 1973, 74. So he spends pretty much the rest of his life dealing with prison in and out and investigations for other crimes. So these crimes include sex trafficking, arson, murder, tax evasion, and bankruptcy. Now,
arson is always an interesting crime psychologically.
And arson is actually one that they didn't have enough evidence to convict him of. So not all of these were convictions, but he was involved in all these investigations. And there's a lot of just sketchy details. It's not relevant for our story.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way. So he eventually goes down as I honestly think this kind of frustrates me. It's so like expected for tax evasion. You're like, of course.
Right, right.
Like of all things that you're going to just get
so
finally.
So typical.
Right.
So basic.
If you're going to be a great tycoon, have a different like story.
Be creative. have some fun with your crimes.
Just saying, tax evasion seems so basic.
So boring.
Anyway, so Billy.
You're better than that, Billy.
Billy is basic.
Well, I guess he's not.
So the crazy thing here is, so they you know, obviously are investigating him for tax evasion, and they find out that most of his money, you know, because obviously his tax returns were not matching the amount of money he had for this extravagant lifestyle. He's a strip club owner, and they're like, no, this isn't adding up. They find out he was running a bootleg whiskey company with his grandmother. Like, I'm not even kidding. I can't make this up. I'm not even kidding. And
you've got so much money, bro. Just get your business license and your liquor license.
Like, I'm like, what are we? We're not living in the prohibition. I wondered that might be something I could research is if I wonder if there was like some sort of weird
for something or there was some
if there
illegal.
Was a front or there was some sort of Chattanooga law. Or he just genuinely wanted to make money without having to pay the IRS.
Right, like, right.
That's also
it's just
fair.
Further tax evasion.
I mean, it's a fair sentiment. Like, I mean, who wants to pay money to the IRS, right? I mean, we do it because we have to.
Yeah, yeah.
But poor Billy, man, he's like, I'm not.
If you ever commit tax fraud or tax evasion, this...
This will be held against me in a court of law. Let's just be clear. I paid my taxes this time around, April. Got
this
them
time?
In. No, all
this
times.
Time?
All times since the age of, what is it, 16, 17? I started working. I'm a good girl. I pay my taxes. Point of the story, if you want to evade the IRS, don't use bootleg whiskey businesses with your grandma. You'll get caught.
There go
Billy.
My summer plans.
Right. I know. You guys are all really interested in that. So, yeah. So, eventually, he gets convicted of tax evasion. He gets got and he goes bankrupt. The house after, back up 1 second. After he gets tried for murder, right? Or mm-hmm. convicted of murder for hire. The house is like abandoned. Like Gloria doesn't live there. It just kind of exists. Nobody's there to run it, to own it, to pay for it. So he had it for less than a year.
The government didn't like take it.
So people progressed, like had kind of gone in and out of owning it. It didn't go into new ownership until after Billy died.
I guess it didn't need to if he had enough money that he could pay his fines.
Right. So he was able to like keep the house existing, mm-hmm. but it wasn't really running or operating. And like Billy had less than a year of actually using his sex palace.
Right.
Which I just think is ironic.
I was going to say, because it was what, finished in 72?
72.
And
yep.
then 73, 74 is when he
yep.
gets
Goes
got.
To jail. He gets got. So it's unclear if Gloria lived there a lot, his wife.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live in my felon husband's sex palace, personally.
I would not either. So anyway, so there's some details about his life that are a little bit unclear.
But I would take ownership. I would take ownership of it, sell it,
yeah,
and then make my own palace.
Right.
That's the correct thing to do here.
I think that would be a better palace.
That's the only,
that would be the superior
the
palace.
Only, like, acceptable option. Anyway.
Right. So, yeah. So Billy, in 2008, dies of cancer. At that point, the house...
What happened in the interim? Was he always in jail or was he more in and out?
He was pretty much always in jail.
Okay.
There were a few seasons where he was in and out on bail, but he was pretty much in jail.
Okay.
Dies of cancer in 2008. And again, the crazy thing about Billy is like literally he's only known for this house. Like there's not a lot of documentation that's like readily available. There's no like Wikipedia page.
I've got a question.
For Billy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No, there's not.
That's kind of surprising considering
there's not even a Wikipedia page for the house.
That's really surprising considering that there's a Wikipedia page for the mad pooper of Colorado Springs.
Right. He just wasn't national news enough.
So what did he do to get his money in the first place that he was able to build this?
He owned strip clubs.
And that was, okay.
That was his legit business, was he was a strip club on legit business. That he was a strip club.
Legit business, that seems like there were also other happenings.
Hence the
yeah
investigations for sex trafficking.
Right,
you know,
right.
Fun things like that.
Yeah.
Also, it's interesting looking at the 1970s nightclub world, because this is where he gets into some of his arson investigations. It was like really this is where violent. He gets
into some of his arson.
These nightclubs were like in constant competition with each other.
Yeah,
I mean it was like mafia gangs, which is so strange. The nightclub world of the 1970s was like
right.
It wasn't just like, oh, let's go out for drinks and like have fun. It's like there's going to be a shooting. It seems like it was a really different environment, and it was extremely competitive. And I think a lot of it was because it was front for something else. I think that still happens
a lot, but not necessarily with shootings. I mean, that I think that does happen.
Yeah.
But I think there's still a lot of competition and a lot of shady stuff that goes on in a lot of them, not all of them. Some of them are like fully legal businesses that pay their taxes and do all that, but I definitely think that there's a lot of shady things that happen there that hurt a lot of people.
Definitely. And there's a lot of documentation on the 1970s nightclub life.
I mean, it's definitely worse. Yeah,
it's such a weird, it just had its own like edge to it that made it unique and so weird. But,
and especially since there was a lot more, you know, we're still working on this, but a lot more misogyny especially in sex work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, all these hotshot strip club owners.
All these dudes.
They would like literally try to burn each other's nightclubs down. Like they just
it's just so unhinged.
It's insane. The level of like just craziness of psycho reactions,
like a complete absence of a frontal lobe.
They had more men show up to their strip club last night, which means they have more business. So I'm gonna burn them to the ground. Oh, that was definitely an appropriate course of action.
So I've got a question. Did he ever murder anyone himself, or was it always murder for hire?
Not that we know of.
Okay.
It was always murder for hire for this
Interesting.
Guy.
Couldn't get his own hands dirty.
There was one case involving, I'm forgetting his name. It was in, I believe it was 76, where they found the body of a dead man in somebody's car who they knew that guy killed him. And the murderer was a friend of Billy's again. So there were a lot of weird, Billy was connected with a lot of murder cases.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them weren't murder for hire, and they were just like friends who like
were like suspiciously murdered, and he just happened to be connected.
Exactly,
with them.
Where you're like, all right, Billy.
Yeah,
all right, Billy.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here,
buddy?
And I can't. I'm just picturing Gloria on all of this. Like, dude,
was she into like the swinger lifestyle?
Not really. She was just kind of like, it's my husband. That's why she was with Roland. She's like, come on, Roland.
Rolly. I'm sorry. I'm just still picturing Roland's shit.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy. The house had a few different owners here and there. Some people said it was haunted.
Sure.
Fair. Who knows?
So, were there ever murders committed in that house that we know of? No.
Nope.
So, why is it
haunted?
Lots
of sketchy things might have happened. Well, I think that part of it is
people
like,
who died.
And I think part of it's like Billy's ghost of like whatever. Like, Billy's still there.
I will fight Billy's ghost. I will take him.
That's the next question. Choose your fighter. Which fighter?
Rachel from Hyperfocus against the ghost of Billy Hull.
Definitely not Jimmy Carter.
They'd hug it out.
That is true. Jimmy'd be like, come here. Come here, Billy. Jimmy and Billy.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
What 70s names, too? Jimmy and Billy.
And then I just come in swinging.
America in the 1970s.
No, not that kind of swinging.
I mean, I guess you do.
Like throwing hands. Yeah, I have to be a little more careful with what I...
When we're talking about swingers.
Yes. I was like literally...
Meant swinging
throwing
punch.
Punches that you can't see because this is just audio, but I was going at it hard.
Yeah, she almost whacked me from across the table.
I don't know that my arms are not that long.
It could have
I'm still like a foot and a half away from your face.
You were close to throwing the whole table up.
I was.
That's how intense she was about Billy.
I will fight Billy Hall's ghost.
Yeah, the ghost. Ghost.
The ghost of Billy.
So 2015 comes, house goes into foreclosure because Billy's dead and Gloria is...
Yep.
I think she dies shortly
She's
after.
MIA
but no one's wanting to pay for... Billy's the only one who wanted to pay for his swinger's house, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
2017, the house is eventually demolished. And only the memories are left standing.
And perhaps some ghosts.
And perhaps some ghosts. Why can't we
not can't say the word ghost? Is it because I threatened Billy Hall's ghost?
I think so. He's not letting us say that word anymore. He's here. We brought him.
I stand by what I said.
So it's a creepy house. And it's a creepy story with some sketchy men in a sketchy time. Like 1970s America, strip clubs, sketch. You're just asking for sketch.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting the way his whole goal was like, I want to be the Hugh Hefner of the West, of the East Coast.
You know, I just have to say, if your goal in life is to be the Hugh Hefner of
anything,
please think again.
Check yourself for a hot second. Yourself.
So, or I will wreck you.
She'll come and wreck yourself. She'll come and swing.
Check yourself before Rachel wrecks yourself.
So that is my story that I have for you today. The story of Billy Hull.
Thank you.
And the Tiki Hut Swingers Palace in Chattanooga,
Tennessee. Thank you. That's never going to leave me, especially the big like tiki faces right at the entrance.
Yep.
We'll have to put that in a picture on.
Yep. Palm trees, tiki heads, horrendous bamboo, tiki branch, wallpaper, pools, saunas,
too much.
Bars. And more
lots
bars.
Of bars.
And lots of mirrors.
Lots of bars. We should model our studio after that.
I do think that'd be quite a statement.
Wood paneling and a bar.
Love it.
And a poorly shaped
bunny pool.
I couldn't think of the word Playboy. And a poorly shaped Playboy bunny tiled pool.
Yep.
It is. It's poorly shaped. Well, thank you very much for that, Maddie.
You're
you went big on your first one.
Thank you.
So the expectation has been set high,
okay,
and
good.
You have to live up to that or exceed it every single episode from here on out.
Okay.
So if people want to look at the pictures,
right,
they can find us. Where can they find us?
Instagram.
On Instagram, we are HyperFocusPod.
Twitter.
HyperFocus_pod.
TikTok.
HyperFocusPod.
Facebook.
HyperFocus:, a podcast for chaotic minds. We have both a page and a group there. And they can also send us an email at HyperFocusCast@gmail.com. Send us your feedback on Maddie.
I can take it.
Good, bad, or otherwise. Be honest. And as always, if you have topic suggestions, fan mail for me.
Not for me.
Not yet.
Not there.
We'll see.
Not there yet.
Jury's still out.
They'll get there. They'll love me.
Any of that stuff.
I mean, I talked about Billy Hull. How could they not love me?
Take it easy. Take it easy. I don't want you getting too big of a head here. That's only I'm allowed to have a big head here because I'm objectively the best.
True. I do have to remember my place.
You're objectively neutral/good.
Yep.
We'll see, you know, what happens there. You have a lot of opportunity to get closer to me on that scale.
I'll never get as good as you, though.
Good, correct. That actually brought you up a tiny bit just by saying that. It's a large scale and you've got a long way to go. So you have to continually prove yourself. So let us know how Maddie did. Find us on our socials. Thank you so much for telling us about Billy Hull and giving us an example of what not to do. We will see you next Monday. Stay chaotic, babes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.